Good morning. Let's see, this is March 16th, 2025. Last night we were supposed to have tornadoes, but they went on by. Just went right on by. And this morning we're still here. I wanted to look at the Infinite Way book because, well, Joel says that this book is very deep, and what is said in a sentence or a paragraph is the basis for a 30,000 word book. And so it behooves us to look at it slowly, to contemplate it, to go within the consciousness of the one who wrote it. And the one who wrote it was not Joel. The one who wrote it was the Christ of your very being. Let's start with the author's note. He says, there is a way whereby we are able to rid ourselves of sin, sickness, poverty, and the results of war and economic changes. This way is exchanging our material sense of existence for the understanding and consciousness or conscious awareness of life as spiritual. Down through the centuries, the sense of man and the universe as being material has resulted in the development of fear for the personal self and for national existence. This will continue and become even more intensified as more destructive material forces are discovered. And then he talks about a substance, 1 ounce will kill everyone in the United States and Canada. This is probably not even the ultimate of material force. There is no material power to overcome either this or the atomic bomb. There's no hope in matter or material sense. The way of security, harmony, and health is through attaining some measure of spiritual consciousness. Now that means some measure of conscious awareness. The great secret is that despite all belief to the contrary, real power, either for good or evil, does not reside in matter or in the material sense of man and the universe. Those who have acquired some degree of spiritual consciousness have proven in that measure the reality of spirit. The necessity for giving up the material sense of existence for the attainment of spiritual consciousness of life and its activities is the secret. That it is practical is proven today by the healing and regenerative works done by many students of modern schools of practical or scientific Christianity. When the world learns that whatever success has been gained in improving conditions of health, wealth, and security in the lives of these modern followers of ancient teachings has been accomplished solely by the surrender of material sense through attainment of spiritual consciousness, it may well look up with hope. The question is, how does one set about to attain this spiritual consciousness and thereby lose the material sense? The answer is read and study the truths revealed through all ages about the universal mind, capital M, soul or spirit, and about spiritual creation and its laws. Imbibe the spiritual sense of these revelations. In this small volume, I have written the spiritual truth as I have gleaned it through over 30 years of study. The last 15 years of which have been spent in the practical application of truth to problems of human existence, health, business, family life, and security. Be assured, inner peace will come as one turns to the spiritual consciousness of life, and an outer calm will follow in one's human affairs. The outer world will conform to the inner awareness of truth. The authority for all of this revelation will be you, as you yourself experience this change within and without. So, essentially, the introduction says that we must set aside our material sense of existence and come into a spiritual sense of the universe. This is a spiritual universe, and knowing that, having the conscious awareness of it, this is the answer. So he begins with chapter 1, putting on immortality. And that's what we just talked about. Putting off a material sense of existence and putting on the spiritual sense of the universe. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh, but it still is the Word. By being made flesh, it does not change its nature, character, or substance. Cause becomes visible as effect, but the essence or substance is still the Word or Spirit. In this way do we understand that there is not a spiritual universe and a material world, but rather what appears as our world is the Word made flesh, Spirit made visible, or capital M mind expressed as idea. All of the error that has existed down through the ages is founded on the theory or belief of two worlds. One, the heavenly kingdom, or spiritual life, and the other, a material world or mortal existence, each separate from the other. Now that's where error comes from. That's called duality. A spiritual kingdom and this world. Two. Because of this sense of two worlds, men have always attempted to bring harmony into the discords of human existence through an attempt by prayer to contact this other world or spiritual realm, and to bring spirit or God to act upon the so-called material existence. Now, I still find that attempt to pull God down into this world by almost everyone I meet. Those in our group are becoming, some are becoming less and less practicing that type of prayer. More and more they're learning to actually meditate until they have a conscious awareness of spirit. Let us, that's all of us, let us begin with the understanding that our world is not an erroneous one. Now, some of you have been walking around with the idea everything I see, hear, taste, touch, and smell is an illusion. This world is an illusion. But that's not what he says. He says our world is not an erroneous one, but rather, the universe in which we live is the realm of reality, about which man entertains a false concept. We've said it before, we're standing in the finished kingdom. This world, this universe, is spiritual. It's a spiritual universe. But we're not seeing the spiritual universe. We're entertaining concepts about a spiritual universe. And the concepts make up the material universe that we see. So, the work of bringing health and harmony into our experience is not getting rid of or changing a mortal material universe, but in correcting the finite concept of our existence. So the work within is exchanging our mortal material concepts for spiritual consciousness or conscious awareness of the living spirit. That's the work. The seeker of truth starts his search with a problem, perhaps with many problems. The first years of his search are devoted to overcoming discords and healing disease through prayer to some higher power, or the application of spiritual laws or truth to these mortal conditions. The day arrives, however, when he perhaps discovers that the application of truth to human problems either does not work, or does not work as it once did, or he finds there is less satisfaction and inspiration in his study. Eventually, he is led to the great revelation. Mortals only put on immortality as mortality disappears. They do not add immortal spiritual harmony to human conditions. God does not create, nor does he control material affairs. The natural human man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are spiritually discerned. The natural human man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are spiritually discerned. Now, we all know what it's like to look out over the room we're in, and with our senses see and hear and perhaps even smell what's in this room. It's material. The bed is made up of, well, the pillow over there has down in it. The bedspread has down feathers in it. There's a wooden guitar, a wooden dresser with a mirror, a Tiffany-type lamp, a widescreen TV, a computer table, a stool, a chair. But that's not what is here. That's the material concept. There is a spiritual universe right here where the eyes see all this. How to come into that conscious awareness of the spiritual universe? This is what it's all about. Are we seeking the things of the Spirit of God for some human purpose? Or are we actually endeavoring to put off the mortal in order that we may behold the harmony of the spiritual realm? Now see, if you're going into meditation because you're coming down with a cold, and you're hoping to get rid of the symptoms, that's just not right anymore. That may have been okay 20 or 30 or 40 years ago. It's not okay now. That's not what we're doing anymore. We're not using and applying truth to problems. We're not going to God and hoping He'll unloose the warehouse, spiritual warehouse, and send us supply. We're not going within because we're lonely, and we would like that presence to appear as a companion. There must come a time in our existence where we stop that. It's very important. Joel mentions it over and over and over again. We must come to a place, to a point in consciousness where we refuse to try to improve the human scene. While we strive and struggle and contend with the so-called powers of this world, combating sickness and sin or lack, spiritual sense reveals my kingdom is not of this world. Only as we transcend the desire to improve our humanhood do we understand this vital statement. When we leave the realm of human betterment, we catch the first glimpse of the meaning of I have overcome the world. We have not overcome the world while we are seeking to have less of the world's pains and more of the world's pleasures and profits. And if we are not overcoming the sense of struggle over worldly affairs, we are not entering the realm of heavenly affairs. 4. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Spiritual consciousness overcomes the world, both the pains and the pleasures of the world. Both. So this idea that we can attain spiritual consciousness and enjoy the fruit of a better human life, this is false. This is entirely false. If we're still trying to improve our human life in any area, we are missing the mark. We are sinning. So, we cannot accomplish this evangelization of humanhood by mental might or physical power, but by the spiritual sense of existence, which all may cultivate through devotion of thought to the things of the Spirit. This is a spiritual universe in which you live and move and have your being. Do you see it? Are you aware of it? Or are you passing through life asleep to it? Are you going to spend a whole other lifetime unaware of the spiritual universe? Feeling good because you saved $1 million or you found the perfect mate or you're like Jack LaLanne, for those of you that remember Jack LaLanne. You're 80 and you're able to pull a train down a track with your mouth, with your teeth. Are these the things we're seeking? Here is the guide. Watch your thoughts, aims, and ambitions for just a short while and see if your mind is on your health, pleasures of the senses, or worldly gain. Then, as these worldly thoughts appear, learn to reject them, because now we are no longer set on the path of improving our human affairs. We are on the path of attaining the spiritual kingdom. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Does this sound as if we were becoming ascetic? Do we appear now to be desiring a life apart from the normal, joyous, successful walks of life? Do not be deceived. Only those who have learned to keep their attention on spiritual things have tasted the full joys of home, companionship, and successful enterprise. Only those who have in a measure become centered in God. Do you even know what that feels like? To not be centered in this world, but to be centered in God? Spiritual sense does not remove us from our normal surroundings, nor does it deprive us of the love and companionship so necessary to a full life. It merely places it on a higher level, where it is no longer at the mercy of chance or change or loss, and where the spiritual value of the so-called human scene is made manifest. And this is really the goal, if there is a goal. We want to have the spiritual value of the so-called human scene made manifest. such meditations as, Father, reveal thyself. Father, glorify thyself. Let me see thee. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And here is your instruction. When confronted, I wrote in the margin here, this is the principle. When confronted with any human problem, instead of laboring for an improved human condition, turn from the picture and realize the presence of the Divine Spirit in you. And that's the principle. Well, I don't have enough money this month. Turn from the picture. Don't try to improve it with more supply. Don't do it. Turn from the picture and realize the presence of the Divine Spirit within you. Father, reveal thyself. And in the silence, in the quietude of your inner being, there you are receptive. Listening, attentive, waiting for the Spirit of God to reveal itself. This Spirit dissolves the human seeming and reveals spiritual harmony, though to sight this harmony will appear as improved human health or wealth. When Jesus fed the multitude, it was his spiritual consciousness of abundance that appears as loaves and fishes. When he healed the sick, it was his feeling of the divine presence that appeared as health, strength, and harmony. So he didn't heal people. He walked in the conscious awareness of the divine presence, and that realization dissolved the material sense that was hitting up against them, coming to him. Help me, heal me, please. I have leprosy. Master, Master, think of all the people that called on him for help. And he walked in this conscious awareness of the living Spirit of God within him. Sometimes he wasn't even aware of the problem. Which is why the lady came through the throng and touched the hem of his consciousness and received healing. We are living in a spiritual universe. But finite sense has set a picture before us of limitation. And while our thought is on the picture before us, this world, we are engaged in the constant effort to improve or change it. But as soon as we lift our vision, we take thought off of what we shall eat and drink and wear, we begin to behold the spiritual universe, which appears to us as improved beliefs, but which really is more appearing of reality. This more appearing of reality brings with it joys untold here and now, pleasures beyond our wildest imagination, and the love of all with whom we come in contact. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Yes, not from out here, some temporary feeling of peace, but from in here, conscious awareness of spirit everywhere. The peace which passeth understanding. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. How often do we go on the rocks on this point? How frequently we attempt to understand spiritual wisdom with our human intellect. This leads to mental indigestion. We are attempting to digest spiritual food with our educated mentality. It will not work. Truth is not a reasoning process. Therefore, it must be spiritually discerned. All right, what is truth? You may say, I am. And that I would be the spirit, the presence of the spirit within you. And you would be correct. But understanding that with your mental reasoning, yes, that's what I am, it says it in all the books, will not work. He says that it will not work. That's not going to bring you any closer to a conscious awareness of the living spirit. That can only come through something called spiritual discernment. Truth does not appeal to our reason. When a truth appeals to your reason, you must search deeply to see if it really is a truth. Be suspicious of a truth that seems reasonable. Jesus walking on water, feeding the multitudes with a few loaves and fishes, healing the sick, raising the dead. Does all this seem reasonable to you? if the principle underlying these experiences was understood, all the churches would be teaching them as present possibilities. I have never been to a church for some Sunday service and heard someone say, "Today we're going to take a look at how to raise the dead. We're going to look at how to feed 5,001 with just a little fish. Today we're going to look at how to heal people, places, and situations." I have not heard that in church or in a church service. But he says if the principle underlying these experiences was understood through reason, then you would hear that in church. But this principle is apparent only to spiritual sense. And this cultivated spiritual consciousness can do the things that the Christ has ever done. What was possible to Christ's consciousness then is possible to that same consciousness now. So, we are now engaged in the cultivation of that spiritual sense. And we shall succeed in proportion as we relax our mental struggle and become receptive to those things which the Spirit of God teaches or imparts. Instead of trying to make spirit operate upon our human bodies and material affairs, let us learn to disregard these mortal pictures and keep our vision on things above. When we come down to earth again, we shall find the discords and limitations of sense have disappeared, and more of reality appearing. Now this is what we all are hoping to attain. But it's going to take something different, something you've never tried before. It's going to take something different than reading these words in this little black book. It's going to take something different from thinking about these words. It's going to take the exercise of a different faculty than your mind. It's going to take spiritual discernment. You must discern the spirit, not think about it, not talk about it, not read about it, not even pray about it. It's going to take spiritual discernment to discern the spirit. So let us learn to disregard these mortal pictures and keep our vision on things above. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe or understand this. To receive the word of God, spiritual sense, we need to feel rather than reason. This is referred to biblically as receiving the word in the heart. Note here that the development of the spiritual consciousness results in a greater feeling of harmony, of being. We understand neither seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, or smelling will reveal spiritual truth or its harmonies to us. Therefore, it must come through a different faculty, the intuitive faculty, which acts through feeling. Heretofore, we have sat down to pray or to meditate, and immediately a stream of words and thoughts started to flow. Perhaps we began to affirm truth and deny error. You can see that this is wholly in the realm of the human mind. But in cultivating our spiritual sense, we become receptive to thoughts which come to us from within. Now, it's a different kind of a within. It's not a within my mind. Well, how do you receive a thought that's not in your mind? You know, this intuitive sense, it takes over your meditation. You feel, I in the midst of me am mighty. You feel, I within you go before you. You feel, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You feel, I am the way. Relax, relax. I am the way. And when you feel that, you connect with that feeling, you are in the midst of spiritual discernment. You will discern the truth right where you are. We become hearers of the word rather than speakers. We become so attuned to spirit that we feel the divine harmony of being. We feel the actual presence of God. Having transcended the five physical senses, our intuitive faculty is alert, receptive, responsive to the things of the Spirit. We begin our new existence as a result of this spiritual rebirth. And so when you have done this in your meditation, you have come into spiritual awareness, the awareness of spirit. Spiritual discernment reveals that invisible being in the midst of you. You begin a new existence, an existence that relies on listening, relies on receptivity, relies on feeling. A new existence. Heretofore, we have been concerned with the letter of truth, but now only with the spirit of truth. See, we don't care if we get it right, the exact quote, I go before thee to make crooked places straight, or to prepare a place for you or whatever. We're not interested in getting the quote right. We're interested in feeling, spiritually discerning what's behind the quote. And behind the quote is I. I go before you. I. And we want to discern that I in the midst of us. That I going before us. We are not concerned now with what is truth, but with feeling truth. This is accomplished in proportion as we give less thought to the letter and more receptivity to the feel. What is that I going before me? What does that feel like? This word feel, incidentally, refers also to awareness, consciousness, or your sense of truth. We are not now speaking truth, but receiving truth. That which we receive in silence will speak from the housetops with authority. To as many as received him. Now, when you contemplate something like that, you feel what it means. You discern what it means. You discern. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, if you take that into your human mind and look at it through a material sense of universe, you're going to come away with the conclusion that I, Jesus Christ, am the way, the truth, and the life. But if you go within, drop the material sense of universe, and rest there and feel, what does that mean? I am the way. You feel it, you discern it, and suddenly you know that I was not Jesus Christ, or is not Jesus Christ from 2,000 years ago. I is that invisible presence which I feel in my meditation. That invisible presence is the way. And so why am I struggling to pull that presence into a human sense of life? I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to stand still and see that I move through the universe, its universe. This is a spiritual universe, and I am its way. Okay, so see, spiritual discernment, So we are not so concerned with what is truth as with feeling truth. This is accomplished in proportion as we give less thought to the letter and more receptivity to the feel. We are not now speaking truth, we are receiving truth. Spiritual healing is the natural result of a divinely illumined consciousness. We are illumined only as we are receptive and responsive to spiritual illumination. We misunderstand immortality when we think of it as the immortality of a human personality or personal sense. Immortality is attained in proportion as personal sense is overcome, whether here or hereafter. As we put off the personal ego and attain the conscious awareness of our real self, the reality of us, divine consciousness, then we attain immortality, and that can be achieved here and now. The desire to perpetuate our false sense of body and wealth ensnares us into death or mortality. The first step in the attainment of immortality is living out from the center of our being, as in the idea of unfoldment from within, rather than accretion. It is the giving sense rather than getting, being rather than attaining. In this consciousness, there is no condemning, judging, hating, or fearing, but rather a continuous feeling of love and forgiving. It is not a simple matter to show forth the joy and peace of immortality, because to those intent on preserving their present concepts of being, immortality would appear to be extinction. This is not the case. It is the eternal preservation of all that is real, fine, noble, harmonious, gracious, unselfish, and peaceful. It is reality brought to light in place of the illusion of sense. It is the conscious awareness of the infinity of individual being, replacing the finite sense of existence. Selfishness and conceit fall away in the realization of the divinity of our being. This realization brings forth patience and forbearance with those still struggling in mental, mortal consciousness. It is being in the world, but not of it. So we see from this first chapter well, the whole entire thing is summed up in putting off mortality and putting on immortality. Stop trying to improve a human situation, human health, or human wealth, or human companionship. Stop trying to improve the human anything. This is what keeps us trapped lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. If I can only have an abundance of money, gold, jewels, real estate, I will be happy. And so we devote ourselves to attaining it, and maybe we do attain it. What happens? Well, I'm not physically well enough to enjoy it now. now that I have it. So now the goal becomes trying to improve my health. And I may succeed. I may succeed. But then, what good is all this? I don't have anyone to share it with. So I go after finding the right partner. And during the search for the right partner, I pass away and I come back and I try it again. After several of these lives, I intuitively know there must be something more. I can feel it. And what happens? Well, after many of these lifetimes, I know that intuitively that there must be something more. I can feel it. There's something more than this. And that begins my search. Probably I still have problems, and probably I'm hoping the spiritual principles will solve them and make me happy. It's okay. I've started the search within. I may not find it this time. I may not find it next or the next. But I keep having that feeling that I'm so close. Maybe one of the religions I get involved in is spiritual. And I take a principle home to consider, to contemplate. It is I. Be not afraid. The human material sense of self is always afraid. It's afraid it's going to be dissolved. Be not afraid, it is I. It is I, be not afraid. And so I contemplate. Suddenly there's this feeling of a presence inside of me. I feel it. I discern it. I, be not afraid. I. And my shoulders go down and I relax and lean back. There's an I here with me. Be not afraid, it is I. And in that resting back, I receive a glimpse. I myself am infinite divine consciousness. I am that I am. I am I. Be not afraid. I am I. And in this contemplation and in this discernment, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, I am. I know it because I feel it. Now I open my eyes. I don't even remember why I sat down to meditate. But as I go about my business this day, I find myself in the right place at the right time. There's a divine harmony in all that I do, in everywhere that I go. I behold the harmony of divine being. I am beginning to discern divine being rather than a material sense of life. I can't yet tell anyone about it because it's still too new even to me. But I can read and I can get corroboration from what I'm reading. I can read this little book called The Infinite Way, and I can see that Joel knew and knows exactly what I'm talking about, or rather, exactly what I've been experiencing. And so I'm not alone. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. I and my Father are one. This week, practice. If there's a problem, or you see a problem in the news, or you see a problem as you're at the store or somewhere in public, turn from the problem and get a spiritual sense of divine being. And that's all. No words, no thoughts, just a spiritual sense of divine being. We come into the spiritual discernment by practicing these principles in all of our affairs. Well, I believe that's all for today. Thank you for your gifts and your uplifting letters and for your participation that draws out these talks. Thank you. God bless you. I love you. Amen.